you, Daddy. Thank you.
God bless you. Love you. Thank God for that sweet prayer. I ask each of you to continue to pray for me this afternoon. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from the passage of Scripture that's on my mind this afternoon. It's a very familiar passage, and it gives an account of something that's going to be very familiar to all of you, but it's just what's on my mind. I pray it's of the Lord. If that would not be the case, then I feel like I'll soon sit down and get out of the way, and we'll leave all that in the Lord's hands. John chapter 6, if you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from John chapter 6. We'll begin reading right at the first verse of John chapter 6, and we'll be looking at some other portions of God's Word in the New Testament where this same account is given in the other gospel writers. It's a wonderful thing to have the Bible before us today. And thank God for His Word. Beginning at verse 1 of John chapter 6, it says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him, because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And we do believe with all our hearts this afternoon that Jesus is that prophet that should come into the world, that was sent by Almighty God, His Heavenly Father, into this world to pay that sin debt that had to be paid on our behalf, or we would have been separated from God forever. We would have no fellowship with Him here in our lives, and our life would be a life, though we may be happy in this world like a pig in a pig pen, we would be in great trouble and without anyone to help us. But thanks be to God that God had a love for His people, a great love, that He sent His only begotten Son, and the Savior, that prophet that came into the world, had the love as well for us as being one with the Father, who was verily God, equal with God, and verily man, and showed that great love as He lived here in this world. Here He walked in time with His disciples, and you see a lot from the attitude of the disciples that reflect our attitude so often. It's good to know that God's little children can mess up, not in order for us to have some encouragement about messing up, but that we might understand that you can mess up and still be a little child of God. At least I'm thankful for that today. I'm thankful to know that God's children don't have to get everything right all the time and stay on track all the time and be perfect without any faults or blemish, because if that would be the case, there is no hope for me. And I dare say that if you examine your life and look at it in the light of God's Word and in comparison to who Jesus was and what perfection is, you'd say that about your life as well. As we thought about it last week, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? I just get amazed to think about what it is that God, who made the heavens and the earth, would have anything to do with an old sinner like me at all. And that he would have anything to do with our little church. And yet, has he not been wonderful? Has he not blessed us in so many wonderful ways? He's blessed us individually. He's blessed us in our families. And he's blessed us in our little assembly here at Happy Creek in so many wonderful ways. And we ought to be always believing in the Lord. And yet, as his disciples did not always believe, sometimes we find ourselves not always believing. And God has left this on record for us that we might know their weakness, but his strength. And despite their weakness, he's strong. Isn't it good to know we've got a Savior who's strong when we're weak? That though we let loose, he never lets loose. Though we don't always do what we're supposed to do, he always does exactly what his will is. He fulfills the will of the Father, and God does care for us. And he certainly shows that here. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And if we read only this account, it would seem like the multitude stopped following him when the disciples were carried away. But if we read over in Matthew 14, we'll see a lot more about this multitude. And that's important to know kind of who they were and why they were there. We know from this account that they saw his miracles on them, on which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Jesus went off to rest a while. Isn't that good to know that it's okay to rest? As a matter of fact, it's important for us to rest. And that's something the Lord has given us. Today is a day of rest for God's little children. It's time for us to set aside to come out and worship the Lord. That's the activity that we should be engaged in. We kind of, as a nation and as a people and in our families and individuals, have kind of forgotten about that a lot of times. And we think we can get by without having some rest. And sometimes we get the idea we can do it 7 days a week and 24 hours, as much as we can. You know, it's the only thing to stop us is sleep. I'll tell you what will happen when you do that. Brother Mintz told me a long time ago, he said, "Brother Gary, if you keep burning that candle at both ends, it'll soon reach the middle." And I kind of found out that the hard way. Of course, he had found it out the hard way, and it happened to him before it happened to me. And you have to have some time where you rest. Jesus taught us that, and he had his disciples come aside for a place to rest. We read about this in chapter 14 of Matthew, and we could begin at verse 13, but we'll read at verse 14. It says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." Now, this is important, because Jesus saw that multitude. He didn't just see a big crowd and say, "Phew, that's a big crowd, and I'm not worried about them." He had compassion towards them. In other words, when he saw that crowd, I look at a crowd and I say, "Well, that's a crowd, but I can't tell one person from the other. I don't know what's going on in the crowd. I don't know all who they are. I don't know all about them." Even as I stand in a congregation right now, I look over this congregation and I kind of feel like I know you pretty well. I know you're well enough to know you're praying for me right now, and I believe you're going to love me, whether I feel that the Lord has blessed me and I feel some measure of success in my efforts to preach, or whether I make a complete flop of it, if I make a complete failure of it. I believe y'all do everything you could to try to make me feel better and encourage me, and we have that kind of communication. And we think we know that about each other, but we very seldom really know all that's going on in our heads. Aren't you glad that we really don't know all that's going on in everybody's head all the time. Now that would really be a burden if you knew everything. I have trouble sometimes with what people tell me. I'd really have trouble if I knew everything they were thinking all the time. I'm sure I'd have lots of problems with that. But no, not so with our Savior. You see, I believe this prophet, this one who had come, had the ability to look on that crowd of people and know every one of them individually. I believe he knew about them. I believe he knew about them before he came. He knew them as the Son of God, as God. He knew all things. As man, he learned some things and grew. I don't know all about that, but I know that's what the Bible teaches us. He was both man and he was both God, not 50-50, 100% man and 100% God. He had to become man so that he could die for man, and he was everything that he was supposed to be that way. But as God, as the Son of God, when he looked over this great crowd of people, he saw that great multitude. When the Bible says he saw them, I believe he really saw them, don't you? I believe he saw every need they had. I believe he saw who they were. I believe he knew who they were. And on at least some of them, he was moved with compassion towards them. So there was, I believe, a great multitude then, that he was moved with compassion. That word compassion is similar to the word pity, but it also embraces the word love. It's God's compassion shown to someone because he has a love for them. Jesus had compassion on them. You know, some people look over people that have problems and they just simply do not care. And we would think, well, all of God's children would care. Well, I'm telling you, there were some here who looked upon them and knew they had the need and knew there was a problem. And they were good people. They had the name of Philip and Andrew and the other disciples. And they looked at this crowd of people and they knew they needed something to eat. So they said, look, we don't have anything, so we better send them out of here. They didn't think for a minute what they really had. How often do you and I go through life not really knowing what we have? How often do you and I go through life thinking, well, we just don't have enough for this, we don't have enough for that? Can I say this to you this afternoon? If Jesus is your friend, if Jesus loved you, if Jesus came here into this earth and died for you, if Jesus paid the sin debt for you, if Jesus has a love for you, God the Father has a love for you, and you're under the Father's care and under the Son's care and under the power of the Holy Spirit, and you and I have everything that we'll ever need right now, His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Well, that's it, certainly what it says. So, it may not be everything we want, but I say to you, we have everything we need. The Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I started to say what I say a lot of times, and that's all I want. That is true. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And he says, and when Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he not only did that, he healed their sick. And I'll tell you, when we read over in Psalm 103, He is the one who's forgiven us. He's removed our iniquities. He's healed our diseases. He's forgiven us our sins. He's removed them as far from us as the east is from the west. I want to say to you, let us not forget all His benefits. The Lord has been so good to us and has blessed us so much. I'll tell you, we have every reason, whatever comes, whatever need we might have, to be able to look to the Lord and say, it's going to be okay. It'll be all right. I hope that gives you some comfort this afternoon. In 2017, we don't have a clue what our needs are going to be, but it looks like they're going to be great, don't they? I'll tell you, we got one great who meets our needs. He meets them in our families. He meets them in our personal lives. He meets them for our natural needs. He meets them for our medical needs. He meets them for our financial needs. And he meets those things for, more important than anything else, our spiritual needs. And I hope today as we meet and gather, our major concern is that the Lord would feed us spiritually. More important than our natural food. I really enjoyed that natural food last night. I ate a little too much of it. I enjoyed it so well. And it was a great blessing. But I'll tell you, the spiritual food that you have, the message from the songs that we sing, the prayers that are offered, the communion of a brother, and a sister or a brother and a brother to say I love you and feel the love that flows from breast to breast from between God's little child, children. And not only that, the spiritual nourishment that comes from the teachings of God's Word. Many times just to remind us again of what we had forgotten about, that I've forgotten to know who it was that is with us. Listen, the disciples had every reason to say, that's a big crowd, but we're all right. You know why? Jesus is with us. That isn't what they said. As a matter of fact, they came to Jesus and tried to tell Him what to do. And we do that sometimes too. We come thinking we know more than the Lord and even present ourselves in prayer in a way where we really seem to be telling God more what to do than to ask God what is it we ought to do and asking Him for direction and leadership. It says this, and when it was evening, His disciples came to Him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away. Boy, they were some charitable folks, weren't they? We got a big crowd. Be like us having a union meeting, and at the union meeting we have such a crowd, we just have to tell them, y'all going to have to go down. You know, McDonald's is opened. You own your own. Cracker Barrel. And rather than giving them a little bit of help, just sending them out the door. Well, these disciples... Now, you would say, well, they didn't have enough. Did they have enough? It looked like they didn't have enough, did it? It sure appeared that they didn't have enough. It sure appeared that they were way down. And as a matter of fact, they tried to talk to Jesus about it, to let Jesus know something. You know, when we pray, should we be trying to let the Lord know something? Well, it's okay for us to make our petitions known. But I want you to know, you never tell the Lord anything that He doesn't already know. You never ask for someone to be helped that He doesn't already know about their needs. You never inform Him of anything that He doesn't know. It's good to let your petitions be made known, but that's not to let God know something. It's to let you know He knows it. It allows you to know it's in the hands of the Lord. It gives you peace and encouragement about that. And it is important for us to pray because He said, you have not because you ask not. So we are to let our request be made known unto God with thanksgiving, knowing that He hears our prayers and He will answer them in accord with His will. And whatever His will is, that's always in our best interest. So it's not about my way, it's about His way. It's not about what I want. It's about what He would have for us. And He says, and when it was evening, His disciples came to Him saying, this is a desert place. Now, the Bible in Matthew and John tells us it was a mountain, but it was a mountainous desert. It's a desert place. Now, and the time is now past. That means it's come to evening to eat. And the multitude, send the multitude away that they may go and unto the village and buy themselves victuals. That word I used to think was just kind of a slang word that which was on the Beverly Hillbillies. Grandma used to say victuals a lot and said, you go get you some victuals. Well, this is a biblical term and it really means bread and something to eat, some nourishment. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. Now, John gives us a little more enlightenment about how He did that. Now this crowd also, if you read about it in Mark 6, and if you have your Bibles and you turn now to Mark 6, I'll look at that for just a second. When it tells us about this crowd, He says, and the apostles gathered in verse 30 of Mark 6. He says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done, and what they had taught. And He said unto them, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while. That's where He tells us we need to rest a while. Now, Jesus said do that. Now, when Jesus tells you to rest, it's time to rest. It's not time to work. It's time to rest. And Jesus tells us to rest. And now when He tells you to work, it isn't time to rest. Isn't that good? When we do what the Lord tells us to do, He knows exactly when we need to work. He knows exactly when we need to rest. He knows what's reasonable and what's not reasonable. And when it comes down to that, it's not the preacher you have to answer to. And the preacher doesn't have to answer to the congregation. It's really answering to the Lord. And when we look to the Lord, He is able, as we look to His Word, to give us exactly what we need about that. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Now, I'll tell you, you're too busy when you don't have time to eat. But you're also too busy when you don't have time to eat spiritual food and to get the things that you need spiritually. And he goes to verse 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them and came together unto him. Now, don't just get in your eyes, in your head, that we got just a little handful of people. Because when they started feeding people, it turned out to be 5,000 men. Now, that's a crowd. 5,000 men is a crowd. Imagine 5,000 people coming. But don't just get 5,000. There's men and women besides. So along with the men and women, we're probably talking an abundance of above 10,000 at least that were necessary. Now that would cause you'd say, well, that's reasonable. Any of those disciples said, you better send them somewhere to eat. If we had a union meeting and 10,000 showed up, I'm sure we'd have to say that somebody's going to have to handle that. We haven't been prepared. But what we need to remember is they had the very presence, the bodily presence of Jesus. They had him present with them. And he's the one who had made the heavens and the earth. It wouldn't be any problem for him to feed 10 million if he saw fit to do that. As a matter of fact, everyone who ever eats, he's the source of our food. He's the source of our drink. He's the source of our life. You know, the sparrows. Who feeds the sparrows? He taught us. Take no thought for what you eat or what you should drink. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Who feeds those sparrows? He's the one who feeds the sparrows. And he's the one who clothes the lilies. He says, are you not more valuable than sparrows, little children? And the Lord does supply those things to us. And he said, and let me get back to this passage. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them. Don't miss that part. Jesus not only saw them, but he had a love for them. He had a pity for them. He saw their need. Now, this passage always makes me think of the covenant of grace before the very foundation of the world. When God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, before we were ever on the face of the earth, in the mind of God, they understood and knew His people, they foreknew us, had a love for us, and He saw the great need that we were in. And God saw each and every one of us individually, an innumerable company that no man can number, out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. And Jesus knew exactly who they were, and the Father gave them, His people, the elect family of God, the Father gave them to the Son, and that's who the Son came to save. And out of this crowd of people, Jesus saw in that people, much people, and He was moved with compassion toward them. Why was He moved? Well, they weren't just hungry. He said, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. Now, who gets taught by Jesus? It's His children that get taught by Jesus. The Lord doesn't teach the man of the world, because the man of the world can't. He doesn't hear, he doesn't see, he doesn't know. He cannot learn the things of God. All his thoughts are, there is no God. But God's little children, He began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, His disciples came unto Him and said, this is the account from Mark, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the village and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. They acknowledged they had nothing to eat. Jesus then asked this question of Philip. When Jesus, back over to John 6, I realize I'm jumping around a lot, but this is what I have, so I pray the Lord will give you some benefit. Back to John 6. It says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? In other words, Jesus has said, don't send them away, I'm going to feed them. Well, the answer has to be now is how we're going to feed them. Okay, Jesus, you want to feed them, then how are we going to do this? They're talking to Jesus. Well, Jesus knew what he was going to do, but he wanted to see if Philip was. Now, he didn't say this so he didn't know where Philip was. He knew exactly where Philip was, but it allows us to see where Philip was, doesn't it? It gives us an idea. You ever been like Philip? Well, I know you said that, Jesus, and we're going to feed them, but How is that going to happen? How is this going? How are we going to take care of this? You ever had a situation where you know the Lord has said this is what you're supposed to do, and yet you just go, how am I going to get that done? How is that going to work out? And we want sometimes the details about that, and we get our natural mind involved, and we think, well, I got this figured out. And he goes, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them. Now, when we think about this, 200 pennyworth in a King James Bible, from what I understand, a penny worth fed about 10 people. And so you got 200 pennyworth would have fed about 2,000 people. And now we got a 2,000 people that if we had this much money, which they probably didn't have, but if we had this much money, then if we had that much, that would feed only 2,000. How are we going to take care of this 5,000 men besides the women and the children that are gathered here? We got a problem. And they're saying, what would that mean? He says, when shall we buy bread? He says, that many penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. In other words, when you get down to slim pickings, sometimes you can say, okay, you can't eat so much. You know, just go slim. I remember when we'd have a program at school and we'd have only one thing of cookies and a whole lot of people, we'd tell the kids, well, just go through the first time and take you a cookie, but don't take like you normally do, because they'd go in and eat all the cookies. You just take one so everybody else would get a chance. Well, that's kind of like what he's saying here, even if we had this much. But that's the problem is we don't have this much. And Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread. See, he had his eyes on what they had rather than what Jesus could give. And isn't that the truth with us in our lives? Sometimes we go like, you know, sometimes as I come to stand before God's people, I go like, all right, here's what I got, Lord, but I don't know what that's going to do with this congregation. Lord, I know this is what's on my mind, but I don't know what that's going to be like when I stand before this congregation, because they already know all of this. Not only that, I probably maybe have talked about that last time, and you start thinking about what you have rather than what the Lord can give. You know, it's amazing when a preacher gets off himself and trusting in the Lord, and he begins to trust in what the Lord can give. And a congregation is the same way. Rather than trusting in what may come from just the natural circumstances, I even hear sometimes churches say, well, this is who we call because we really just can't do any better. And what that means is we haven't really looked to the Lord and asked Him, because, listen, and in our natural lives, isn't it true sometimes we just say, I just don't think this is going to work out. You ever get to... I ask you, how many things right now in your life have worked out when at one time you looked at them and thought, it ain't no way this can work out? How many? I tell you, I could write a book on the number in my own life plus those of God's little children that I've seen in difficult situations that seem to have no answer. That the reason we were there is because we forgot what Jesus could do and does do in our lives, and we were just looking at what normally might happen. Listen, our lives are anything but normal. Normal would be we would be by ourselves. You're not by yourself. You have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You have a friend who loved you so much he came into this world and died for you. You have a friend who's promised that he who gave his life for you, how could he not with him also freely give you all things? This isn't an open blank check to say I get anything I want. The world is preaching enough of that health and wealth doctrine that I don't want to add to that. But I'm telling you right now, what you need in this world, the Lord has promised it to you as His little child. And we sing a hymn that says, God will take care of you. And I absolutely believe not only can He has, and He will continue to. And you and I would do injustice not to trust Him. And yet we get just like these disciples sometime, and we go like, look, this is all we got. And if we had this much, He won't do it. He wouldn't handle it. And then one of His disciples, he said, one of His disciples, another Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto Him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? In other words, this is all we got. We don't have 200 penny worth. We got 5 barley loaves, which barley bread from what I understand, it wasn't the cheap kind of bread. It was the kind of bread that poor people ate. It was it wasn't the finest. It was a coarse bread. But I'm telling you, of all the meals you could have had, this would have been a glorious meal, would it not, to have been a part of this meal? Because this meal, though it might have been in the eyes of the world just a poor diet, I'll tell you what, if people heard what we were preaching and teaching today, they'd go like, boy, I don't know, I don't really want any of that. You know, y'all don't have this and you don't have that. Sometimes we as old Baptists, when we begin to explain to people who we are, we tell them all the things we don't have. We tell them, well, we don't have instrumental music, and we don't have Sunday school, and we don't have this, and we don't have that, and we lay out a whole list of what we don't have. I'll tell you what we do have. We have what the Lord's put in His church. We have preaching that is trusting in the Lord, that is power and demonstration of the Spirit. We have singing that is not about us and how we sound, but about giving God the glory and the honor and the praise. And we have prayer that's being made by God's little children. And with those things, we have what the Lord has designed and put in His church. And that's, though the world may think that's not much of a meal, it's a glorious meal to sit down with Jesus and eat of the barley loaves and the fishes when He's taken them and blessed them and divided them and given them to His disciples. And they sit, and we sit down in a desert. This world is a desert. And yet we sit down on grass. Where did grass come from in the desert? I'm telling you, where does all grass come from? The Lord provides it, does He not? And has He prepared us a table in the presence of our enemies? I believe He has. Listen, Little Happy Creek Church, for a long time now, has been a table for me that He's prepared for me in the wilderness. And not only this church, but the other little churches that I've gone to and visited and feed at, where God's ministers stand and preach the gospel. I have had still waters. I have had green pastures that the Lord provided for us here in this old troubled world. Thanks be to God for all that He's given us. And He said this, there's a lad here which have five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? That what that meant was, you had to have each loaf take care of 1,000 men besides the women and the children. And then the little fishes, it didn't just say great big fish, it wasn't two whales, it was two small fishes that were there. And He says, but what are they so among so many? Well, you'd say, well, look like Philip, Andrew's come up with an answer. Well, Andrew's answer was so full of doubt. He said, look, here's all we got. And what's that going to do? Just throw your hands up. What's that going to do? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. I'll tell you what, you know when Jesus says something, you need to do it. He said, make the men sit down. Why? Because He's about to take care of them. And now there was much grass in the place the Lord provided. If the Lord tells you to sit down somewhere, He provides you a place to sit down. Isn't that true? If the Lord calls you to do something, He gives you the ability to do it. If the Lord has called you to walk in the fellowship of the church and He's given you that burden in your heart, He gives you the ability to do that. If the Lord calls you to preach the gospel, He'll give you the ability to preach the gospel. Whatever calling. If you ever felt like, well, I just don't have a calling to do that. And when the Lord gives you a burden to do it, you step out on what the Lord gives you. He'll always provide what you need. He's done that over and over again, and He did that here. And He says, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. We could look over in another place and see He set them in groups of 50 and in groups of 100. In order that they might be better served. I think sometimes about the Lord's little churches, and it doesn't seem like they're huge. And sometimes you'll hear some supposed body of people that's a supposedly big church, and there's so many people there that they don't know one another, and they don't have any. You know, there's just a huge crowd. Somebody would say, "Well, you just have a little few." You know, I'm thankful for our few. Although I'd love to see more that come, that see and understand and know the truth, I certainly would welcome more, and we'd love to see that. I'm thankful for the two and the three and those that gather together when they gather to meet to worship the Lord. I think of the Lord taking those groups of that 5,000 and setting them down into groups of 50 and groups of 100, and there the disciples went, and you know why they did it? Because those individual disciples could dispense that barley and those fishes to those in that congregation. And it says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks. Wouldn't you love to have heard that? The Son of God, Jesus, the Son of God, speaking to His Heavenly Father and giving thanks. He distributed to the disciples. He gave it to His disciples. Can you see the ministry here? He gave that to the disciples. Listen, the disciples wouldn't have had anything to give them. As a matter of fact, the disciples wouldn't even have cared about it. Listen, if a minister cares, it's because the Lord's given him the burden to care. If a minister has the ability to help, it's because the Lord gave him the ability to help. Therefore, we're never to give who? The minister or anyone else the glory. All the glory and the honor and the praise belongs unto the Lord. And he says, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Now, isn't that an amazing thing to see Jesus? Here they are handing out the fishes, and the two little fishes just keep on coming. They just keep on coming. How much did they get to eat? They said, well, I just got a bite because they didn't have very much. No, he said, as much as they would, as till they were completely full. He filled them. And when they were filled, he filled them. Isn't it wonderful? When we look to the Lord, we get filled. And this is about natural things, but I'm saying to you the same thing applies about spiritual things. As a matter of fact, he said, labor not for the meat that perisheth, which is natural things, but labor for that meat which endureth unto life everlasting. Now, what kind of meat is that? That is the spiritual food that the Lord gives us. He has had a seal put upon Him to give us that food that we stand in need of. And so as we come this afternoon, the most important thing is, Lord, fill me with that food that I stand in need of this very day. And He's able to do that. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now, I believe this tells us the importance of taking care of what the Lord's given you. It's not to, you're not to waste it, not to take it for granted. Therefore, they get, and not only that, it shows the great power of Almighty God, that they ended up with more than they started with. Isn't that wonderful how God works? He says, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, and truly this was a miracle, they said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. I ask us this afternoon just to examine our lives and see if those miracles are not all over our lives of what Jesus has done for us. And can we not also say, because of that, this is that prophet that has come into the world. This is the one we're to trust in. We're to lean upon Him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. I appreciate your kind attention this afternoon. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and may God richly bless you all.